Excuse the critique, Technologic. In émission où nous passons en revue les épisodes de Star Trek et répondons aux questions de connaissance à bord le vaisseau spatial de temps, l'USS Relativité.
Hey everyone, you are listening to Technologic, where we review Star Trek episodes and enjoy Trek trivia aboard the Federation timeship USS Relativity. This is Technologic number 149 for Stardate 2014.173. Today, we'll be reviewing the Deep Space Nine episode Through the Looking Glass.
When I came in, he and Morn were painting numbers on the Vol's backs.
I think you'll find that random and unprovoked executions will keep your workforce alert and motivated.
That's to let you know I missed you. And that's for letting me think you were dead.
I'm glad to see you still care.
He always has to make things difficult.
It's one of his least endearing qualities.
You know, Captain Sisko would try to fight his way out of this.
Be glad I'm not him.
I bow to your brilliance.
Bill? We're headed to the Mirror Universe today. This is your first time there on a mission, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Captain.
Well, the ship has a special engine component that allows you to pilot across the barrier between the two universes, right, Mike?
Yes, Captain.
So that part will be easy. The more important question is, were you issued your Mirror Universe disguise? I believe you were slated for a tattered mining jumper.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally ready. I've been up in the holodeck doing an ore mining simulation all night, and I'm tired from it, so I look a little tattered, and I've got my paste-on goatee ready to go.
That's great. Carrie, speaking of ore, I've been wondering exactly what kind of ore they are processing there. Do you think you could do some tests or something to find out?
Okay, first of all, I'm not wearing a fake goatee, just no one get their hopes up on that. And second of all, we already know what type of ore they're processing.
Wait, so that's real?
The ore processing?
The goatee.
Mike, you're very funny. Are you real?
Of course.
There is no goatee. Clearly, you must have set your little light eyes to see a goatee on everyone.
That is pretty humorous. I do that on occasion.
Well, there you go. But I did figure out what kind of ore they are, and it's Bajor.
Oh! It makes perfect sense.
Zing a zing.
And so beyond the innocuous color and the wrinkly edges on part of it, it's really not that interesting, and it's really not worth anything. They just give it to people to work on because it makes them tired. And if they're tired, they won't
rebel.
Wow. Okay. Love it. All right. We need to get some ourselves. Mike, are you taking a shuttle again to make sure we can't switch you for Mirror Mike?
Nope. I've had time to work on that problem and came up with a solution. I've altered the ship's computer system so that if any Mike other than me tries to interface with it, they'll be overwritten with my programming and just become another extension of me.
But they're all other yous.
No, not the Mirror Universe one. That's a different me. That's not the same me like all the ones here.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah?
Are you smarter than the Mirror You?
Of course.
Are you more overconfident than the Mirror You?
No. I expect that the Mirror Me has probably thought of something similar for his ship, which is why I will not make any attempts to interface with the Mirror ship here.
So you don't think that the other you has, because they thought of something similar, may have thought of a way to get around it?
No, because there is no way to get around it. You'd have to interface with the ship to get around it. Well, I guess he could blow up the ship, but that would be kind of detrimental to the whole switching thing.
Well, actually, I don't think it's going to be a problem because they're probably researching our side and wreaking havoc.
You mean while we're here?
Yeah.
That could be.
Yep.
All the more reason.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to see how things have been going in my absence. So let's get to the review.
Mike, This is the one where we see a version of Weekend at Sisko's, and Sisko gets to pretend to be, once more, a dead guy.
This was written by Ira Stephen Baer and Robert Hewitt Wolfe. It was directed by Winrich Kolbe and originally aired on April 17th, 1995. Geos ranks this episode 30th of 175 episodes.
Wow. So Nana Visitor hated the intendant's rubber figure-hugging outfit. It didn't breathe at all, she says. And between takes, she had to stand in front of a large fan to prevent her from sweating, as the sweat tended to discolor the outfit.
Holy cow.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, armpits with different colors.
Yeah, that's how the body, human body tends to react to being wrapped in rubber. Ira Stephen Baer commented that we certainly had enough stuff that we could have kept that show going for another hour.
Wow.
I thought the Sisko-Jennifer relationship was interesting. It was a nice way to bring Jennifer back, and I think we'll meet her again. But Jake is going to have to meet her at some point. The action stuff was pretty cool. I also thought the look of the show was good. My only complaint was that we had to cram so much into so little time.
It's like fanboy right there.
Yeah.
That was interesting. This was cool. This is going to happen. This was pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, Avery Brooks was especially happy when he read the teleplay for the episode, because in it, Sisko has sex for the first time since the show began. And not once, but twice. First with Tax, and then with the intendant.
Ah,
I
hope he realizes, though, that that was his character.
Right.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, you just say, Nana, we need to practice this scene again.
Yeah, I don't think he had it with the intendant.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
I think she left him in her room, and...
Yeah, I'm not
all
sure.
All right, well, let's get to it during the review.
Yeah.
Another day on Deep Space Nine, and we get to enjoy some Quark Odo referenced Morn antics.
A full fight? I'm appalled. Do you really think that was what Morn was up to?
Constable, I want the voles confiscated and removed from the station.
You can't confiscate Morn's voles. They're like his pets.
I'll see if I can get him some goldfish.
Poor Morn. This is going to break his heart.
Sadly, it's just throwaway dialogue about vole fighting that doesn't get any more play in the rest of the episode. But we wonder if Morn's goldfish is possibly related to Captain Jeff's.
Oh, yeah!
The real mission starts with Chief O'Brien visiting Sisko, wearing some very unlikely clothes, at which both Quark and Odo snicker.
You going somewhere, Chief?
Sir, I need to talk to you.
Do you want to talk in my office?
Actually, I thought we might go to my place. Get on the transporter pad. Energize!
Where are we?
I guess you could say we just stepped through the looking glass.
From there, he explains why he's kidnapped Sisko.
I guess you have a lot of questions.
Not as many as you think.
You know where we are?
If I had to guess, I'd say that this is the same parallel universe that two of my crew members visited a year ago.
You're quick. Just like our Sisko. That saves me having to give you a history lesson. But I better update you on current events. Since your officers left here, we've started a rebellion against the Klingon-Cardassian Alliance. We're fighting for our lives.
I wish you luck, but I don't see what that has to do with me.
It has everything to do with you. You were the leader of the Terran Rebellion. At least, our Benjamin Sisko was.
Was?
Captain Sisko's dead. The Cardassians blew up his ship.
So you want me to take his place?
Like I said, you're quick.
Well, I've got a better idea. We're going to walk back to the transporter pad, and you're going to send me home.
Wait. Hear me out. I'm not asking for a lifetime commitment. All I need is for you to finish the mission Sisko was on when he was killed.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to find someone else. I don't belong here, and I'm not about to interfere with events going on in this universe.
At least let me tell you about the mission. Then, if you decide not to help, I'll send you home. There's a Terran scientist working for the Alliance. Our sources tell us she's close to completing a new transspectral sensor array that will allow the Alliance to locate our bases in the Badlands. Without a safe place to hide, the Alliance will be able to track us down and kill us all.
So, You want me to prevent this scientist from finishing her project?
Captain Sisko was convinced he could change her mind. Get her to work for us instead.
How did he plan to do that?
She was his wife.
Jennifer.
You know her?
She was my wife, too, but in my universe, she's dead.
Not here, she isn't. Not yet, anyway.
What do you mean, not yet?
Unless you can persuade Professor Sisko to join our cause, we'll have no choice but to kill her.
Kill her?
We cannot let her finish the sensor array. It'd mean the end of the rebellion.
I can't let her die. Not again.
You're the only one who can save her.
I don't understand what Jennifer is doing helping the Alliance in the first place. I mean, didn't she know that Sisko is leading the rebellion?
She knew, all right. The truth is, she and Captain Sisko didn't get along too well. Then again, the captain didn't really get along with anyone. In some ways, the rebellion's better off without him. Don't get me wrong, the captain knew how to fight. That's about all he knew.
Ah, so here we are in the Mirror Universe. That scene started with a real slick move by Sisko to disarm O'Brien, or M.U. O'Brien, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's like this scene, you're like, wow, that's a lot going on. And wow, Sisko's going to see his Mirror Universe version of his dead wife. That's awesome. It's really interesting. And, you know, you really get excited from this scene, like, oh boy, this is going to be a lot of stuff. You know, it's going to be cool. I guess the question is whether the episode delivers or not.
I had a logic problem here.
What was it?
How did O'Brien get Smiley get aboard Deep Space Nine without anybody knowing? It seems like this is kind of like a port location. They would keep track of who just randomly beams in.
Right.
Certainly see that. I mean, Odo, it seems like, would keep track of that.
Yes. Yeah.
But if he's O'Brien, it doesn't matter.
But this O'Brien isn't trained as well as... Smiley isn't trained as well as O'Brien is.
Right. Can we call him Mo'Brien?
Mo'Brien?
No. Yeah, I mean, I think that they were assuming that he would just be able to get on board because he's O'Brien and nobody would question it.
It would have been nice just to see an episode where O'Brien was supposed to beam aboard maybe into that same beaming slot, and instead it was Mirror O'Brien.
Oh, like, yeah.
Been waiting for that chance that he saw it activate or something like that, and it shorted out the one that the real O'Brien was in, and that Smiley would beam in his place.
Right. It's
just something that they could fix real quick.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, they didn't talk about where the real O'Brien was at all.
It also would have been, I guess, fit with the theme if maybe we saw Smiley beat up O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
He always seems to be cool. Beaten up and torn up and everything.
Right. Although, one question I have is, why the heck was Smiley so out of breath after they beamed back to the Mirror Universe?
Oh, okay. It's the cut when they got back. You know, O'Brien had the phaser that he had trained on Sisko, and Sisko took it away from him and knocked him away. And that's why he was out of breath.
Oh, so it was after they just had their little fight?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I didn't figure you guys didn't want to hear the tussling sounds of
right,
them fighting.
Right.
I think that was a good choice, Carrie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's in the Mirror Universe, and let's find out what happens. Meanwhile, on Terek Nor, Kira takes a break from relaxation to let this universe's Jennifer know that Sisko is dead.
All of this killing, it has to stop.
And it will. As soon as you complete your transspectral sensors, we'll be able to locate the rebel bases, disarm them, and put an end to all this bloodshed. And I will be able to resume pressing the Alliance to become more reasonable to its Terran population. You do believe me, don't you?
In a secret cave, the Rebel Force is meeting to discuss their options now that Sisko is dead.
I told Sisko he'd never get close to Terok Nor, and I was right.
I say we teach the Alliance a lesson. Throw everything we've got at Terok Nor and rip it to pieces.
I disagree. Following your suggestion would do nothing to enhance our goals and would result in a significant loss of life.
That's easy for you to say. Those Cardassian pigs didn't kill your brother.
We have all suffered losses at the hands of the Alliance. Nonetheless, logic dictates caution in the face of a superior enemy.
Logic isn't going to win us our freedom. We have to take action.
And we will. But this time, we do it my way.
And what do you propose we do?
We smuggle explosives aboard the station, plant them in her quarters, and detonate them.
You realize it is highly unlikely that anyone assigned to such a mission would survive.
I say it's worth the risk.
Does that mean you're volunteering for the job?
Captain, you're alive.
Of course he's alive. You can't kill the captain. He's too ornery.
I hope that doesn't disappoint anyone.
We're glad. You're all right.
I'm sure you are.
We heard your fighter was destroyed. The Alliance said you were dead.
Just their propaganda machine working overtime. But you know what all that tells me? They're scared. And we're going to give them plenty of reason to stay scared. Trying to reach Terok Nor using small fighters didn't work. But we need to get Jennifer off that station, and we need to get her off there soon.
We have been meaning to talk to you about that.
Mr. Bashir is not convinced that you can persuade your former mate to join our cause.
I can be very persuasive.
Look, I don't even know why we're bothering to discuss this. The Cardassians destroyed your ship way before it got even close to Terok Nor.
Hit him.
And even if it had got there, there's no guarantee you
can
hit your wife of anything. Let's face it, Captain. The woman hates you.
What my wife thinks of me is none of your concern.
Anyone else want to disagree with the Captain?
Put it away, Dax. Go on, put it away.
No one is questioning your authority, Captain. But we have to stop her before she finishes the sensor array.
And there's only one sure way to do that.
We have to kill her.
You've been saying that all along.
Well, maybe it's time he listened.
Killing her would be a lot easier than trying to get her away from the Alliance.
Easier, but not smarter. If she's that important to the Alliance, think how important she could be to us. But we could use a scientist on our side.
You tell him, Smiley. At least someone here is using his brain.
Oh, think about it. Who knows what other weapons the Alliance is developing? Someone like Professor Sisko could counteract anything they come up with.
She's valuable. We need her. Now let's get to work.
So when this scene started, the only thing I could think is, Tuvok, what? Is there, like, any explanation for why Tuvok is there?
Oh, yeah, because he's part of the Rebellion.
Right?
Well, my problem with that is that you don't really use him. You
right.
just see him primarily right. in this scene. And if you're going to do that, if he's not going to be useful to the plot or anything, it just seems kind of wasteful.
Yeah, okay. I mean, have go into all the trouble of having a guest star from one of the other shows come on, and then he just gets like three lines in a little cave. A cave, naturally.
Yeah, a cave. Well, I know why. Okay. This is the Mirror Universe, and O'Brien is the only one that seems to be thinking and using his brain and logical, and no one else is. And Sisko here, really, the Mirror Universe Sisko, who's a pirate, was a little bit able to do that, but now there's nobody. So they had to bring someone in to be the logical voice until Sisko and O'Brien got back.
Oh, so they were going to... brought Tuvok in for, so I guess Voyager didn't get sucked into the Delta Quadrant.
There's no Mirror Voyager, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Empire.
Oh, right. That's true. Maybe there's not, because the Earth, all the humans lost their big power because of Kirk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mirror Voyager we saw was actually that one, like, rendition of Voyager based on Observers.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, it was nice to see Bashir getting beat up.
You know,
this Bashir is like angry Bashir.
Yes.
But didn't you get the sense that Captain Sisko kind of enjoyed that a little too much? I mean, he's like, you had to wonder if, like, Sisko's thinking, like, ah, oh, the many times I've wanted to actually punch this guy in the face, and now
That's
I get
right.
to do it for real. I don't know why, but it just seemed like that, like, I don't know why he would feel that way, but it just seemed like he did enjoy it.
and Rom is good in this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angry Rom.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked Rom, but Bashir is a problem because he was developmentally challenged.
Right.
And they established that like in series 5, but you know, here we are. This is the problem when you don't have a Bible set up for the show. If you didn't know ahead of time that he's this super mutant with a high intelligence.
Oh, right.
Which explains all his irritating behaviors in the first few series. Then, and you don't have this backstory, it would have been really interesting to see him be a developmentally challenged person in the mirror universe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he kind of was. All he wanted to do was just blow everything up and...
Yeah, but he was going to be the leader if Sisko wasn't there. That's the vibe that I got.
Well, no, right. He wanted to be the leader.
Yeah.
I don't think that other people saw him as leader material, really. It was sad to hear that Quirk was dead in this one.
We saw him or heard about him being killed in the last one.
I know. But, it's just very sad that he's dead in the mirror universe.
In the mirror universe of the Ferengi, a people of philanthropy?
Well, we don't know. Because they're enslaved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're so philanthropic, they're giving their labor away for free.
Forced wow. philanthropy, yeah.
That's how Kira puts it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, caves.
Yes, caves.
You right. like my title for this one? I couldn't call it Band of Brothers. I had to call it Band of Bros.
Right.
Because, I mean, really, I was listening more than I was watching. But I think Dax was the only female that I really saw.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's the real reason they needed the doctor.
Yeah.
The scientist.
Rebel Alliance needs more women.
That's right.
Actually, I do have a problem with Dax. All right, not with Dax, but really, so I would have a real hard time just having sex with, you know, my XO or whatever position Dax has.
Oh, right.
I mean, really? He didn't put up much of resistance there.
Yeah, and he really didn't seem very uncomfortable with that.
No.
Role at all.
He knew that this was a, you know, not where he's from. He knows that it's not really Dax. And, I mean, come on, the poor guy has been off on his own.
All right, well, hold on.
Right, but with all the baggage he's got, you think he just, okay, I'm going to play this part, boom, I'll just throw it all aside, no problem.
Well, and I don't know that they actually did anything, right?
I'm pretty sure they did something.
Yeah. They did the fade to black.
Yeah, the classic fade to black.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that in Star Trek, but I don't feel good with it in this context. I mean, imagine one of your close coworkers, and even if you're in an alternate universe,
right?
Just going straight in, it's like, I've got a little bit of a headache, and then okay.
yeah. It did seem a little quick.
This is much creepier than just a little peck on a holographic cheek that we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Well, do you think that it means that Sisko has wanted to, you know, get horizontal with Dax for a while now, and this is like, oh, I can do it without having to do it.
The only thing I hope is that it just means that Smiley filled him in on more stuff off screen that we didn't see.
I mean, it's like, all right, a world without consequences.
Yeah!
Just going.
I mean, it kind of, but we know he didn't because he was shocked that, you know, she was his mistress when she came up and kissed him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He says that.
And then slapped him. So that was a big surprise. So he knew, like, she was his mistress right before they wandered off.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed
weird. That doesn't mean that he would have to necessarily do anything about that.
The other thing is, maybe he's a little bit bi. I mean, he knew Dax as a guy for a long time.
But it's really? Not Dax.
It is, though.
It's a mirror universe, Dax. Okay. I mean,
but it's still, Dax is the symbiont.
Yes, I understand that.
So it is the same symbiont that made it to the same body, so it's logical to think that it went through all the previous bodies before.
Yeah, that's true. But but it's a mirror universe, Dax. It's not the same person. It's not like this is not the same person he shared experiences with. This is someone who looks like the person who's the host for the person he shared experiences with. But in fact, it's a different person altogether.
There might not even have been a Curzon.
Okay, so I just got it clear that Mike and I might have some issues with that, and Carrie and Bill are fine.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily saying that I would do what Cisco did. Let's be clear.
No.
My personal moral center is not open for discussion. I'm just talking about like what might be going through Cisco's head.
I thought we hired you because you didn't have a personal moral center.
I lied on my application because I knew you would love that.
Well, and
I read this book, How to Get to a Mirror Universe's Captain's Heart, actually.
The 7 Habits of Highly Deceptive People. But we need to understand that mirror universe is essentially different. You don't always have the same experiences. In fact, the people there, even if they're the Bashir or Sisko or whatever, they're shaped by their experiences and therefore very, very different.
Right.
And so everything is different there.
Yes, but the problem that Chris and I have is that this is not the Sisko from that universe.
Right.
This is the Sisko who knows Dax on DS9 and works with her every day. And she's his employee.
He's going to have to see that face every day when he goes back to his own universe.
Right.
And then you go, you should have seen the way that face looked.
Exactly. You know, it's weird that he has a problem.
And I like Chris's line about, oh, a world without consequences. Yay! You're right. It's like, whoa.
I didn't say it wasn't creepy. I'm just saying
fair enough.
It wasn't Dax. Dax.
Yes, we're aware of that. It's just, to me,
it's creepy.
Maybe it's less bad, I think, because they are a different person than taking a hologram of somebody complete with their real world personality loaded in there.
Yes.
But it's still creepy.
I want to see Mirror Universe Barkley.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know what it's like?
It's like James Bond.
It's like if twin brothers switched places with the guy's girlfriend and didn't tell her. That's creepy.
Yeah, it's very creepy. Okay, can we get over the fact that we all think it's creepy?
Yes, okay, we can.
All right.
We all think it's creepy.
The other thing is, Sisko somehow got into Mirror Sisko's voice really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Smiley showed him some tapes, like so he could review the part. Like, okay, you got to sound like this. You got to bombast.
Right.
Well, we know he did fill him in a little bit, and probably, you know, that you're a pirate, you're smooth, and because we've heard Sisko talk that way, too.
Yeah.
On occasion.
It's just something that went quick in this, and not saying that I want it to be an hour and a half, but
no.
All right, here we go. Garak is less cool in the mirror universe, acting as Intendant Kira's lackey. He bribes and tortures, and she calls for random executions. Both lament the loss of Sisko. For different reasons.
What does my mood have to do with anything?
If you don't mind my saying, I have noticed a certain amount of ill humor on your part lately.
I don't know what you're talking about.
As I recall, it began about the time you learned of Captain Sisko's death.
Now, why would I be upset by such delightful news?
Well, I was under the impression that you were rather fond of him.
Well, then you were mistaken.
Well, I will say this for him. He did have spirit.
Too much spirit can be a dangerous thing. Tends to infect others.
Their lamentations are short-lived because Rom has apparently come to sell them out. Sisko is still alive, and he's bold enough to come to Terek Nor. They bring him aboard.
If it isn't the notorious Captain Sisko and his friend the Tinkerer.
And hey, that makes a good rap duo name. Notorious Sisko and the Tinkerer.
Yes, it does.
That's in a different alternate universe.
Yes, the hip-hop universe.
The hip-hop universe.
And Sisko shows how bold he is.
And what about Sisko?
Take me to the Intendant's quarters, and she'll decide what to do with me.
Of all the impudent...
Do as he says.
Intendant, I demand that this man be...
You? Demand?
You promised me he'd die.
And you will. When I say. And not a moment before.
Shall we?
Kira wants Sisko to be loyal. Because that's what worked out so well in the past for her. He plays it up. And she leaves to think about what she's going to do with him. In reality, we know he's there to rescue Jennifer. And his smooth moves have brought him to the one place possibly no one is monitoring. Kira's room. For some weird reason, they not only allow him to see his wife, but also to have a private conversation with her. Sisko tries to convince Jennifer to leave with him. This is a long exchange, but it's probably the most important dialogue in the episode and teaches us a lot about Mirror Universe Sisko.
What did you want to see me about?
I was hoping we could talk.
Really? You never seemed interested in talking to me while we were married.
I made a lot of mistakes back then.
Save the apologies, Ben. They're not going to work. You are without a doubt the most insensitive, self-absorbed, egotistical...
You made your point.
I doubt it. You never listened to me before. You're always too busy trying to impress every woman who crossed your path.
Were there really that many?
There were enough. And if it wasn't women, then it was that ship of yours. Sometimes I think it was the only thing you ever loved.
Maybe I loved you both.
Then why did you leave me to go run and play pirate for the intendant?
That's a good question.
Now, this rebellion of yours. Do you know how many deaths you've caused? How much destruction?
I'm fighting to help free our people.
You're fighting because you like to fight, Benjamin. The only thing you've accomplished is to give the Alliance an excuse to treat the Terrans worse than before. I just hope that with your capture, this rebellion can be ended peacefully.
Who said I've been captured?
Oh, I suppose you came here just to see me.
Actually, I came here to rescue you.
Rescue me?
That's what I said.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
You can't stay here.
I have a job to finish.
You mean the sensor array?
That's right.
If you finish the array, you'll destroy any hope our people have for a better future. I don't think you want that.
All I want to do is put an end to all this fighting, to force the rebels to seek a peaceful settlement with the Alliance.
It's not that simple. The Alliance isn't interested in a peaceful settlement. If we lay down our arms, we'll all be killed.
The rebellion is killing people every day. It has to stop.
Not this way. Not while the Terrans are still at the mercy of the Alliance. They're your own people, Jennifer.
You have no right to talk to me like that. Since when do you care about what happens to our people? You've never cared about anyone but yourself.
Maybe I've changed in the past few years.
Oh, how many times have I heard you say that?
I guess I was a pretty lousy husband.
You guess?
Look, I know it's too late for an apology.
You're right about that.
But for what it's worth, I'm sorry.
For a second... I almost believed you. You know what I wish? I wish I'd never met you.
I wish things could have been better between us. But this isn't about us. Or is it? Why are you working for the Alliance? Is it because you believe in what they're doing, or is it something else?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think the two of us have been fighting each other so long that you've gotten used to us being on opposite sides. But I'm not the enemy this time, Jennifer. The Alliance is.
The Alliance is your enemy, not mine.
That's where you're wrong. Don't you see? You're no different than the slaves working in the ore processing center. In fact, you may even be worse off. At least they know they're prisoners.
What if I am a prisoner?
You don't have to be. Fight back. Come with me.
You want me to join the rebellion?
The way I see it, freedom is a whole lot better than slavery.
So we know now that the way that O'Brien introduced Sisko to how to act was just to tell him to review all of Kirk's files.
Oh, yeah.
All the women, you only love your ship.
Right.
You love to fight.
Yeah.
That's all he does. You're just Kirk. Pirate Kirk.
That's right.
See?
Right. That's all he said to him. It was like, it's kind of like if Kirk were a pirate. Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I get it. Like, you don't need a setup or anything. He doesn't really need to think about it because everybody knows Kirk and Kirk's behavior.
And then this is another scene where he, like, they get captured and he immediately, like, grabs Kira by the head and gives her this full-on kiss.
I know. It was so weird.
Like, what? Okay. O'Brien had to fill you in on this stuff. How are you just going to randomly guess that Kira likes you?
Yeah.
No, the worst part about this is, why did they bring Jennifer in there?
Yes, especially since it was Garrick that brought her in.
And why aren't they monitoring?
I'm pretty sure they... I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I guess maybe they were monitoring or didn't care because they knew it was all happening.
Oh, right. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. I thought that was weird. Why they should be monitoring these two together. I'm sorry, we can't leave you alone, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty... That's really like something that's inconceivable that they had to do just to move the plot forward, I guess. But
and it's weird,
though, about what the worst part is. I think the worst part is getting Kira Nerys's costume and hair and makeup and stuff from rejected Mad Max concept art.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, you know, hey, Kira Nerys, the kid with the boomerang called. He wants his mohawk back. For his dad.
They were just showing you how bad it was. It was Thunderdome like.
That's right.
It was. I was like, oh my goodness. We've stepped into a 1982 dystopian future movie.
Yeah.
Hey, I like those.
And that weird
I like them too.
Wait. The look I think is pretty dated. Headband,
yeah.
I think her headband falls down and becomes that boomerang.
Oh, it could be.
That's awesome. So yeah, I had to kill a child to get it. Now it's time for relaxation time. Now is the time on Sprunkus when we dance. Now is the time in the mirror universe when we relax.
Yeah, that whole scene was weird also.
Oh, and speaking of the first time we see Kira, did you notice she has people like pulling fans for her like an Egyptian?
Yes, it was a Vulcan. There was a Vulcan standing behind her, and his whole job was to pull on this string that waved the fan.
Right.
Yes.
It is a livelihood to stay alive, even at the expense of my dignity.
Well, she used one like a couch.
Yes.
She's just creepy.
Weird.
Creepy.
Sadistic, creepy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like the Empire a lot better.
When you do believe me, don't you? And then laughs.
It's
like, I'm telling you right now, I'm lying.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, it's like.
Well, hey, go ahead and finish that scanner for me anyway so I can kill everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh, but not you.
Right?
Oh, okay. I guess I'll go finish the array then.
Yes.
It seems like this kind of reference to slavery and the house slave versus the field slave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little convoluted, but. It seems real pushed. I mean, it's good that I think they had Cisco and Jennifer in there, but it seems just way too obvious.
Yeah. Well, and then he brings it all up in his conversation with her.
Yeah, but at the same time, she's doing it because she wants the killing to stop. And I don't know if she really believes Kira that she's going to work towards more leniency on the Terrans.
Yeah, if she's
Cisco just calls them the Terrans.
Oh yeah, if she's as smart as she's supposed to be, there's no way she should believe Kira.
Yeah,
right.
She's laughing in her face after.
Right.
I love Terrans. It's like human.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is because the Ferengi are part of the freaking rebellion. That's probably how they got them to agree. Okay, if you guys join us, we'll call that.
But that's Cisco saying it. It's like he doesn't know.
Well, he was filled in by
O'Brien briefing.
Smiling. O'Brien,
I think Rom filled him in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Rom's like pulling him aside. Captain, it's so good you're alive again. But remember, it's Terrans.
And so I really do think Jennifer was doing this because she was so opposed to Cisco, she just naturally against him.
And I actually liked that theory. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. And we do get a good glimpse that he was such a jerk.
Right.
And he essentially drove her to that. Absolutely.
I don't know. It seems petty. And boy, she changed her mind very quickly.
Yes, she did.
Well, and the thing is the Mirror Universe Sisko apparently would never apologize or anything like that.
Right. And I think she starts figuring out during that conversation that he's not the same person.
Right. He's talking too much about her feelings and about freedom and not about being a pirate. And, you know,
he didn't mention his ship once.
Yes. Yes. He went three whole minutes without talking about.
Well, then he would have been spending the whole conversation lamenting about his ship being destroyed.
Or talking about how he's going to get his ship fixed or get a new ship.
Right.
Be better than his old ship.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Does she agree with this kinder, gentler Sisko? Well, she really wants to make one thing clear.
Jennifer, I need an answer. Are you coming with me or not?
Do I have a choice?
Of course you do. If you want, you can go back to your quarters and forget we ever spoke. It's up to you.
All right. But let's get one thing clear.
What's that?
I still hate you.
I know.
Unfortunately, or fortunately if you're Mike, Rom was tortured and killed. So Garak and Kira know the real plan. There's a phaser action as they run and try to come up with an alternate plan.
I'll think of something.
After the chase, they meet up with O'Brien.
Good work, Smart.
Yeah, the only problem is there's 30 more of them behind us.
They find they are cornered.
I'm afraid there's no escape. Your ship's locked down. Your pilot's dead. There's no way out. You might as well surrender.
Backed into a corner, quick-thinking Sisko does something no one in the Mirror Universe saw coming.
At this time, Intendant, I trust you're not going to be so lenient on our dear Mr. Sisko.
Don't worry. He's disappointed me for the last time. Jennifer. Oh, I was so worried about you. But you're safe now. In fact, I can assure you that your husband will never annoy you again.
Actually, for the first time since I've met him, he's not annoying me. In fact, he's making a lot of sense.
Well, he can be very persuasive when he wants to be. I suppose this means you won't be finishing the sensor array.
I'm a Terran.
Keep her alive. Kill the others.
Oh, why wouldn't you be making a mistake?
The only mistake I made was not executing you in the first place.
You don't know how right you are. I have activated the station's self-destruct sequence. Unless I disarm it, this whole place will blow up in 9 minutes.
That's impossible. There's no way you could know the station's command access code.
Alpha 9175 blue.
Computer. Disengage self-destruct sequence. Authorization, Kira. Alpha 9175 blue.
Authorization denied.
I changed it. You have 8 minutes and 30 seconds to let us go. Otherwise, we all die.
Don't listen to him. He's bluffing.
He's not bluffing.
How do you know?
I know. Give me the new access code, and I'll let you go.
I will give you the access code once my friends and I are safely away from the station. Do we have a deal?
This isn't over, Benjamin. I'll hunt you down. I swear it.
You're welcome to try.
One quick thing. That mini clip right before this clip, where Kira was screaming at him, I felt like she was about to go, and your little dog, too! Sounded a lot like the Wicked Witch. And then this is, I don't know, I'm sorry, I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels it's a bit odd that the Mirror Universe Terok Nor has the same access codes?
I don't. There are so many things that are parallel, and it's the same guy. If it's the same guy that built the same one. And I have no problem believing that this Kira wouldn't change any of the codes.
Right, because, I mean, no one would know it. How would they figure it out?
Right.
I think there was an episode where there were some secret access codes built by the architect that they accidentally had set off or something and had to fix.
Right.
It was like at the beginning of the first season, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Well, fine. So, like, the architect built a back door.
Right.
What I found stupid was
Garrick
saying he's bluffing because Sisko has nothing to lose. I mean, they're going to kill him.
Yeah. Right now.
Why wouldn't he, why wouldn't he destroy Terok Nor? That would be a great thing for him to do for the rebels.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Hello. I don't know. Seems a couple of oddball things in there.
Yeah.
Though I do like the end of it where he's like, you're welcome to try, you know.
Yes.
Come at me, bro.
That's right.
Well, he also knows he's not going to be there, and so she's going to be chasing a ghost.
Exactly.
Yep.
And didn't Kira notice when they came in that they're all sitting with their, you know, arms akimbo? You know,
yes.
It's like
akimbo. Good.
You would think.
That word.
You would think that she would realize that something is going on here.
Right.
She was too busy being mean.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I did get clips for it, but they were her like saying Benjamin, and so she's like couldn't believe that he wouldn't come out.
Benjamin.
What? I didn't hear it.
Time's up, Benjamin.
Yes.
Yeah. God.
It's kind of like that. What is it? Come out and play.
Yes.
What, from the Warriors?
Yeah.
Warriors, come out and play.
That's what she reminded me of. But, you know, so she's upset because she said you need to come out, and then she calls him again, and he's not there.
Right.
Because he's in, you know, that area and has set the self-destruct.
The ore processing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the one place they would never go. So there's our episode. Let's see. To close out the mission, we go back to Rebel HQ. We want to remind you again, it's in a cave. And find out Sisko's wife and mistress are now friends. Smiley is a really good guy. Jennifer learns the true fate of her husband, and the last line of the show.
Ready, Captain?
You better go.
Take me home, Smiley.
And there we have it, another Mirror episode.
Right. That's like the Mirror Universe equivalent of Beam Me Up, Scotty. Although, they actually said it.
Yay!
All right, the episode remaining.
Well, it's actually a line in the episode. Smiley says to him at the very beginning, before being disarmed, you could say we've come through the looking glass or whatever. And clearly it's the mirror, mirror comes from the Alice in Wonderland idea anyway. So,
yeah,
right.
Keeping on with that theme.
Yeah, I was not unhappy with it.
No,
I think it would have been better had he actually pulled out instead of that little like device thing. He'd pulled out a looking glass.
Like a portable, expandable looking glass. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to have
that. That would be awesome.
Or it could have been just like a clear pad.
Or.
You know, so you could see through it while he was programming.
Maybe if it wasn't O'Brien or Smiley that came over, but instead he sent over a holographic rabbit to lead him to the transporter.
Oh, maybe it's awesome. Because O'Brien is the Cheshire Cat.
Smiley. Yes.
Ah.
Nice.
Wow, that's
nicely
good.
Done. That's why he's smiley, isn't it?
Very good.
Wow. I like that.
Harry dropping knowledge. Like we're at school.
All right. German episode name. This one's a bit tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a big reveal kind of thing. I don't know.
I don't think I could do it.
That's a tough one.
I think you just say Mirror Sisko is Pirate Kirk.
Yeah, that or like Sisko sleeps with everyone.
Yeah, that sounds like clickbait.
That's the clickbait.
That that's the clickbait.
The 20 women that
Sisko has sex with these 20 chicks in this episode, and the third one will blow your mind. You may never look at underwear the same again.
Or wow. Commander's outfits.
Yeah.
That thing was like scary.
Yeah.
That was. All right, Mike. You
yes.
brought this episode to us.
I did. And I liked Mirror Universe and seeing the actors get to play really different versions of themselves. But there was a lot.
Evil.
Well, but they're not all evil. You know, Mirror O'Brien's not evil, which makes me question whether this universe is O'Brien is.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't think of that.
Because, you know, Mirror O'Brien is clearly a nice guy and cares about humanity.
Right.
What does that say about this one?
Well, I mean, this one doesn't like other people. Remember, they have to bump plates to like each other.
Oh, that's right.
Well, and Kira's pretty much the same. It's just not dolled up.
Well, yeah.
You know, they're both child killers.
You're never going to let her go, ever.
She's okay with that.
Oh, all right. So, I mean, it was good, and there were a lot of things that were just weird or that they didn't explain well enough. So I'm going to give this one a 6 solid.
Bill, you're up.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at the ratings, not the list of who's next. I'm afraid I really didn't enjoy it very much. And I found so much of it like laugh out loud funny at times that I'm going to give it a 4. I'd watch it again, but probably just for the humorous parts. Like, oh, wait. Like, hey, come here. You got to see Kira DeVries's outfit in the Mirror Universe. Look at that. Okay, well, let's go. Now let's go out to dinner. Let's go play some music. Let's do anything.
Yeah.
But no, it's not as bad as all that. But I'm going to give it a 4. I'm going to stand by that.
I'm a lover of the Mirror Universe, as you know.
He's not just a resident. He loves it.
That's right.
aren't you more of an expat?
Yes.
At least that's what he has to tell us.
Yeah.
It's on the Universal Exchange Program.
Are you here as part of a you're here to like help the rebellion, really, or something?
Well, we don't know.
Actually, exactly, we don't know where you're from.
We don't really know exactly how this exchange program was established. He just showed up.
Many
with
people
paperwork.
Just take.
He just showed up with paperwork.
Many people just accept him at his word.
Yeah, right. Just a smiley showed up with this device that.
Exactly.
Magical things. Okay.
See, that he could have gotten him to go that way. Captain Sisko, you're part of.
Yeah, that's right.
Transfer.
You've been chosen.
Exchange program.
Congratulations.
I'm not doing just now. Thank you, Smiley.
Well, as far as the episode goes, I usually expect much more out of a Mirror episode. Because when they do it, they should put some effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're changing all the characters. That's usually a fun thing to do.
Right.
But it wasn't here, really.
Yeah.
I didn't think, at least. You know, we didn't get a sense for the alternate Dax, aside from she was in love with Sisko.
Right. Kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah, they all seemed kind of one-dimensional. There was no big story here. It would have been interesting, for instance, if it turned out that Jennifer rejected the offer, and then what would Sisko do? Kill her?
Right.
That would be a much more interesting episode to find out what happened. Did the kidnapper kill her? Did somebody else, did O'Brien come in and fire the shot?
Although, honestly, I totally expected her to get shot while they were running through the hallways and be killed that way.
Yeah, I was waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
I have to admit, at the top of this episode, I was pretty shocked that it was 30th.
Oh, yeah.
Space Nines.
I was shocked to hear that, too.
And I think a lot of people just like the mirror universe for what it is.
Yes.
But I just don't think this story is there. So I'm going to have to give it, and maybe it's because I like the mirror universe so much and maybe I take it down a peg, but I'm going to give it a 4.
All right.
And see, I was so excited that it was a mirror universe episode. I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be so awesome. And then it was a lot of talking.
Yes.
And I'm okay with talking, but I mean, we've seen a couple people go to the mirror universe from Deep Space Nine before.
Yes.
So we already know how sadistic Mirror Kira is. And I would have really, really liked to have gotten to explore more about the Rebels. And okay, maybe it would have been a two-parter then. But right. That wouldn't have been a bad thing. So they tried to do a lot. And the guy was super excited and said, we had so much and we had so much more we could have done. Well, I wish they'd done more of the other stuff that they didn't do. I'm not saying it's like horrible. It's watchable. And I totally could watch it in the background while I'm watching something else. So it's pretty average. It's not meh. It's above meh because I like the interaction between Sisko and Jennifer. But because of all the little logic things in there, I can't go to 6. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So 5. Average.
What was that?
Unknown.
For 100 Quatloos.
This is a test of some kind, isn't it?
Wager. 100 Quatloos. 400 Quatloos. 200 Quatloos against.
Hey, everybody, it's trivia.
All right. Your book has been recovered.
Yes, I have recovered the book. Not recovered it. Recovered it.
There's that whole pronunciation like a shuttle thing again.
Yes.
You recovered it like a shuttle.
Yes.
But significantly less cinematographic value than the recovery of the shuttle from Journey to Babel.
Oh, I love that shot.
Which was from Galileo.
It's definitely not as cool as that. It did take almost as much time to find it, though. So going and looking at the totals, Bill has 218 Quatloos.
Awesome.
218. Chris has 584.
Awesome.
And proving that we are still in the mirror universe, Mike has 671. I think we have mirror universe Mike on our ship.
Wait, so you're saying mirror universe Mike is good at trivia?
Yes.
That's the difference between the two of us.
Yes. Mirror universe Mike is good at trivia. Okay, so let's go ahead and we're going to start with Bill and his first question. You ready for your first question, Bill?
I am so ready.
Okay, Bill. What type of directed energy weapons were used on Jem'Hadar ships?
Ooh, ask me the question one more time.
What type of directed energy weapons were used on Jem'Hadar ships?
Oh, I don't know, plasma?
Oh, that's not one of the choices. Was it?
Not that. That's not it.
And it doesn't help eliminate your choices for you.
I think it was Quaker.
Was it A, phasers, B, tachyon spreads, C, nucleonic beams, or D, phased polaron beams?
Ooh, they're all such good choices.
Yeah, they are.
They're delicious. They're so tasty.
They roll right off the tongue.
Read me the C and D again, please.
C would be nucleonic beams, and D would be phased polaron beams.
I'm going to go with D, phased polaron beams.
Nice.
Ooh, you get a Quatloo for that. All That's right. Pretty awesome.
Cool.
And what we'll do is, if the book is ever wrong, which we know it has been on at least 2 occasions, when people point that out, we'll adjust your quotes.
Wait, what? You can't take them away.
No. Well, no, if they show that you were right and you didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm all for that.
Because I think that's fair.
Cool.
Okay, Chris.
Yes.
What Hollow novel, based on an ancient Earth epic, did Kim get trapped in during Heroes and Demons?
Beowulf.
Wow! Hey, holy cow! Yes.
I like
that. Was an Ensign Kim question.
I know. I was like, I you got an Ensign Kim question right. Chris just loves Beowulf.
Hrothgar, with his mighty spear. And an English professor actually would do that like every class when we were studying Beowulf.
Mike.
Yes.
Which Deep Space Nine resident was filmed visiting the Baku planet, but not included in the final cut?
Wow.
Oh, for crying out loud.
My goodness, that is a tough question.
Yeah, but you have a limited...
Because you didn't see the person in the show.
Right.
If I understand the question correctly.
I'm going to say Worf.
Okay, that's the option.
Okay.
Is it A, Morn, B, Quark, C, Garrick, or D, Zile?
D, that's just like a made-up person. That's not even real. That's a test question.
Yeah,
I'm going to say...
to see if you're the real Mike or the Mirror Universe Mike.
I'm going to say Morn. A.
You're going to say it's Morn?
Yes.
And you're saying that Zile is made up?
Yes. I'm saying Zile is a red herring.
Because I will let you know, Zile is... Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But you think it's Morn.
Yeah. So who was it?
Quark.
Oh, man.
He's never going to choose a Ferengi.
I will let you
I
know.
Almost chose him, but I thought it was more likely to be Morn.
Well, okay. The reason that he would have chosen that is because he never chooses C, and right. He thinks D was a made-up name.
Right.
Which is totally not made up. That's Gul Dukat's daughter.
Well,
it's because he didn't say Zial.
Zial.
What?
Yeah, Zial. That's totally a boy's name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mispronounced it.
Zial is the southern Zial. Pronunciation.
I'm sorry. It's the what? The southern pronunciation?
Zial.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Zial. Oh, my, Mr. Garrick. You are giving me the Oh, perhaps a stroll along the promenade with my parasol today.
Okay, Bill. I hope the book is kind to you with that, because that was pretty funny.
I didn't know I could possibly get favor from the book by being funny.
I don't know.
One knows how you truly get favor from the book.
We're just trying everything here.
Yes.
Okay. Bill, what information did... I want to say it's Jaglom Shrek offer Worf. J-A-G-L-O-M. Jaglom? Jaglom? Who really knows?
Wait, that's Shrek's first name?
I guess.
Apparently.
That's whose first name?
Shrek's.
Oh, his last name is indeed Shrek?
Jaglom or Jaglom Shrek.
So what J-A-G-L-O-M?
Yep.
And then Shrek, like... the ogre.
And he has information for Worf?
Yes.
Yeah, what information did he offer Worf?
I'm telling you, we should totally have a Star Trek spelling bee.
Let's have a Star Trek pronunciation bee.
Yeah.
Let's do that for extra points and extra quatloos.
Be awesome.
Can you use it in a sentence? The daughter of Garrick was Zial.
Oh, right. Okay. Anyway. Actually, maybe start with an X. I'm just buying for time.
Stalling.
Here. Yeah. I'm saying like strategic plans. Is that too vague? Does it have to be more specific than that?
What kind of strategic plans?
Security plans for an enemy base or
a Death Star.
No. The Death Star.
No. Death Star. It was the Death Star. Yeah.
We're gonna say. We're going to say no.
Okay, fair enough.
But I can give you the multiple choice.
Yes.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Was it A, that the Enterprise was in danger? B, that his father was still alive? C, that he was heir to the Klingon Empire? Or D, that he was half Romulan? Now, it just says, what information did he offer Worf?
Right. Didn't say it's true.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go with B.
Oh.
Was it D?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. This yeah. Tried to convince you he was half Romulan.
It was that he was the heir to the Klingon Empire, which was C.
Wow.
And was that, in fact, accurate information, or was he just trying to get something for
who knows?
Reports? I don't remember.
The book doesn't tell her that.
The book does not say.
I don't remember the episode, so does anybody else?
Nope. I
guess not.
I'm sure someone will, and write in and let us know.
Please do.
You know, we haven't done too many Klingon episodes.
No.
Oh, we need to do something with the Duras sisters soon.
We did the movie.
Where they died. That was my favorite.
Yeah, because Mike hates the Duras sisters. Okay, Chris.
Yes.
Which episode featured the first appearance of Seven of Nine? It's looking for an episode name.
Dang it.
I was going to say, it's definitely a Voyager episode.
Yes. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of it. It's a killer. I should know this. Scorpion.
Oh, my gosh.
I did know that.
Wow.
Wow.
Part two. Scorpion part two.
Well, I knew it was a two-parter.
Yeah.
But she wasn't in the first part at all? Interesting.
Okay, Mike.
Yep. There we go. Giggling with glee at my question again.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What was the name of O'Brien's pet tarantula?
Harry.
No, that was a description of it.
Well, a lot of... He doesn't seem like he would be that creative with pet names.
Well, I don't know. Here you go. Your multiple choice questions are A, Batleth. B, Carmichael. C, Christina. Or D, Wilbur.
Or E, Ziel.
Ziel, y'all.
Wow. I hate this because I think it's C.
Well, then, are you going to choose C or are you not going to choose C?
What are you going to do, Mike? What are you going to do?
Come on.
I'm going to choose C. And again, give it a chance to stab me in the back. Oh, my God. All right.
And you know Ooh. What? You did that without a simple hesitation.
That's right.
That was actually a complex hesitation.
All right. Fortnightly double.
All right.
Ooh. Oh, wait. Chris, you didn't play your one word thing.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Pursue! Sounds like it's from Blazing Saddles.
Pursue!
Pursue! Yeah, it's like, who says that?
That's right.
I know Chris likes to collect those one word weird things, so I figured I'd give him one.
That was from this week's episode?
Yeah, that was Garak. Remember when they...
Oh, yes, of course, of course.
They weren't around the corner anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, they didn't want him to say, get him!
Get him, Ray!
Or after them.
Right.
What one word could we use to describe what they're going to do?
And it can't be chase.
Right.
Yeah.
It's too mundane.
It has to be one word because we've reached the limit for what we can give Garak this week.
Right. We've hit our Garak quota.
Okay. This fortnightly double. Let me make sure that's it. Okay. Oh, this is either going to be really good or really bad for you all. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
It's one of those trick questions.
Yeah.
Possibly. Remember, if you know it, write your wager and your answer on a piece of paper.
Yep.
Bill might do this one. How many phaser cannons did a Defiant class ship employ?
Read that one more time.
How many phaser cannons did a Defiant class ship employ?
The question is, am I confident enough to bet it all?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, wait a minute. Now you're making me nervous.
So I'm definitely not going to bet at all.
How many phaser cannons?
Are you guys right down?
I'm not. I don't have a clue.
No, you can just say it. Say how much you're betting, because I'm out.
Yeah, you can just say it. I'm out.
Yeah. Right,
Wait.
One more time. I'll read you the question. You can think about how much you're wagering.
No, I'm good.
How many phaser cannons did a Defiant class ship employ?
All right, I'm going to be conservative. I'm going to bet 20.
No, 20? I'll bet
30.
30?
You know you have 219, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not confident enough to bet at all.
Well, I'm not sorry.
I'm sorry. What is the ridicule I'm getting right now exactly? Is it that I'm not betting enough or that I'm betting too little? I'm betting too little or I'm not betting enough?
I guess just it's interesting to me that the only difference between 30 and your only option, the other option to you is bet at all. It's 30 or bet at all. What? I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm not yet. Yeah, well, I didn't share the entire process with you, Mike. There were other thoughts in my brain organ that went on in there. Electrochemicals were firing and stuff.
That helped you arrive at 30.
You could decide how sure you are about your answer and take that percentage of your quatloos and bet that.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, all so, right.
The all right, answer
my, is... I bet 20, and my answer I already wrote down.
Oh, wait, 20 now?
Yeah,
so
20.
It's 20 phase cannons?
No. Can you see my answer?
Wait, Chris was talking, so no, I couldn't see it. Say
you
something.
See that?
Okay, I see it. It is the number 0.
It is 0.
Okay. I will tell you automatically that is wrong.
Yeah, okay. Because you know why I thought it was
really?
Right? You know why I thought it was right? Because at one point when Worf comes on the Enterprise, the new Enterprise, in whichever movie that was, and Riker says to him, you do still remember how to fire phasers, don't you? Because he's been on the Defiant for so long.
Right.
Oh.
That's why I thought it was none. All right, so I just lost 20 quatloos. Yep.
But aren't you glad you didn't go with them all?
Yes, very glad I didn't bet them all. Your guys' reaction that made me – I was like, oh, I got this one. So are we going to the fan question with that then?
No, because you attempted it. So
all right, so the answer is?
The answer is 4.
4?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. I
guess 2 on each side.
That's what I would have said because that's what I remember seeing. But, you know, just because you see it doesn't mean they don't have, right, like, one on top, one on bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's how they have it. They have one at each axis point, the top, the bottom, the left, and the right.
That could be.
And that's crazy.
No, it's 2 on each side.
It's 2 on each side. That could be. We
and
have
front
one at all the major compass points.
Could be 6 front and back.
Oh,
I'm thinking in 3 dimensions.
Yes.
Well, clearly no one does that.
Right. I forgot about that.
Okay. So for our listeners, this one you guys should be able to get. And our.
Wait, are you talking about us?
Well, yeah, you guys will probably get it too. So you're probably not going to be too happy that it's a listener question.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Wah, wah, wah.
Which two cast members had a child and were married during the run of Deep Space Nine?
Wah, wah, wah,
wah. We could have doubled everyone's quatloos.
That's right.
On the cast.
Oh,
on the crew.
My.
So if you know the answer, private message, send me a direct message on Twitter or an email. And don't include them with feedback because I don't always read those big long feedback things until get pasted in.
Yeah, a couple people are putting their quatloo answers in their feedback.
And
so
I don't.
If you want to make sure she gets them in time to include the points, send it to her directly so that we make sure she sees it.
Wait. If you want to make sure that you get your points included, send them separately, because Mike takes out the little like Quatloo answers because it doesn't get read.
Right.
And I don't always read all those feedback emails directly.
Yes.
Read when they're plugged into the document.
First, I'd like to give a shout out to Christian1313 for TrekLogic.justplainapps.com. Thank you for analyzing TrekLogic. You can go there for all of your TrekLogic statistical needs. And thank you for listening. Oh, and you know what? We love feedback. In fact, we read, listen to, and discuss our feedback in the Listening Post podcast, which was released. We tried to release it last week. We're working on it.
It'll be stacked up and come next week or next time.
You can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes review. You can email us at podcast@treknologic.com. You can tweet us at Treknologic. You can find us on Facebook and Google+. And we have a Treknologic forum at treknologic.com. So join our discussions and let us know what you think. Hey, Carrie, what are we reviewing next time?
Well, we're going to shrink the USS Relativity with those X-Waves so we can try out Bill's piloting skills through his pick of the Voyager episode, Eye of the Needle.
All right. Until then, on behalf of everyone here at Treknologic, love long and prosper.
Well, these progress reports are unacceptable. Productivity in the Blooper Processing Center is down 15%. You have got to do better. Or are you purposely trying to make me look bad to Sector Command?
Wow, you're good if you can tell which one is right from just that beginning 1 second. I altered the ship system so that if any other mic than me tries to interface, they'll be overwritten with my programming and just become another extension of me.
I had to drop out a couple times there.
Okay, hold on.
So start with nope.
Yep. Nope. I've had time to work on that problem. You still doing it?
No. It's just it went nope. Yep. Nope.
What? All right, hold on. Let me drop out and come back in.
Mike, could you just start all the way from the beginning of what you said?
No, it's just the start from nope. He said yep, and then nope.
Now he thinks he did something weird.
Let's try this again.
I'm muted, but I'm laughing.
All right, what am I supposed to do here, Carrie? And there we have it.
Oh, go ahead.
In fact, we weed.
We weed it.
I hate weeding.
No, we don't weed it.